Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Go Pack Go. This is your co-host, Amon Green, along with my other co-hosts, Dorsey Levis and Gilbert Brown, good friends and teammates. You are listening to the Green and Gold G-Lounge on the NFLApodcast.com. Welcome to Green and Gold G-Lounge. I'm your host this week, Amon Green, along with my good friends and teammates, Gilbert the Grave Digger Brown and my man, Doris the Horse Levis. Man, how you doing, guys?
Hey, G, what's good, brother?
Man, good. Chilly.
Yep. What's up, fellow?
I just got settled, so my apologies for last week. I was off on some business stuff trying to get some sponsorships. It worked out for us and for myself here in Lincoln with the esports team that I'm be building out here. And so got a chance to last week get introduced to all the faculty members that work in my college that I'm in the College of Journalism and Mass Communications, which is right up my alley right now because we're doing these podcasts. So there is actually podcast room there, but I'll probably never do it there because it's too damn early when we do this show to walk up in the building at 5 o'clock. I say no. The only place I walk at 5 o'clock is either when I was playing practice or the stadium or the airport, but not now.
And Nebraska's on Mountain Time?
No, we're on Central Standard. We're still on Green Bay time. Right. So same time in Green Bay, it's same time. Denver is Mountain Time. So a little bit, about 8 hours west of here. So,
well, AG, man, I really appreciate that because last week Gilbert said you was out in Nebraska shucking corn. And I told him you was out there trying to get some business for us, but he ain't want to listen to me.
Yeah. I gave us a couple companies for show that are in line to help us out. So one of them, it's an apparel company and they make jerseys. And this year they want to do a vintage college jersey. So if you hear one, you catch my drift there. So I told them my conversation with, they knew what I've done and I mentioned both your names and they're like, okay, Notre Dame, Kansas. Okay.
If he picks Notre Dame, he might pick Georgia Tech. He might be Slippery Rock University. You never know what doors are going.
Oh man. Hey, true. That's what I said. So yeah, good conversation with them, bringing out some old school jerseys. So it's going to be fun. So I will connect y'all when the time comes. It's going to be probably in the next few weeks or so, because we're already, bucking it down, getting started with me, and then I'll connect them through email, as y'all know how we do it. So how about you guys? What's y'all been up to other than last week's show?
Me, not too much of nothing, man. Just sat there and watched this snowfall. Me and Dorsey, we kind of did okay last week with IT,
We did
okay, man. You know, ship moved forward. But other than that, man, just chilling at the house. It's kind of like a slow month, mm-hmm. This month, since just winding down from football season. But
not much to watch.
Yeah, getting ready for the. Well, who's next on deck though? We got to start pumping up the XFL and all that.
We can talk about that. That starts I think it starts in March, late March or April.
I think we need to pick a team and just stay with it. Each of us pick a team and stay with it. Win, lose, or draw.
Okay. Well, at least that'll give me a reason to watch them.
Yeah. My team. I think last time I watched, I don't know if it was XFL or whatever, but whoever watched it,
or Pepper USFL. Johnson.
Yeah. Pepper Johnson was coaching the team.
Pepper? So, oh, nice.
And I said, that's my team. And they was getting their butts kicked. I'm like, I wanted to call them and say, Pep, y'all suck, man.
Man, what about yourself, Doris?
Man, I'm up here in Atlanta. Down here in Atlanta, I should say. Been doing the same old thing. Taught spin class this weekend. Taught a couple classes. So I don't know if y'all know, I coach my son's flag football team.
Yeah, no, you said a few times.
That's the 9-11.
Yeah.
It's only two teams, so we don't play the same team four times. We three and one against the same team. So last week, I think because both teams get, you know, we got to know each other. It went into the fourth quarter, 0-0, and guess whose son scored the game-winning touchdown?
Nice.
I'm just saying. So nice. I'm proud that he also had a pick. Well, he had a pick six, but he caught the ball on his knees and then got up and ran. I'm like, you can only do that in the NFL, son.
Yeah.
Like, that don't make no sense. But anyway, that's all I did, man, hanging out with the kiddos. Being patient, man. You know, AG and I, we talked about my mindset training program earlier. It's helped me a lot in dealing with these kids, man. You got to be patient when you deal with, like, 8, 9, 10-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you got to – because they just do whatever, say whatever.
Oh, man, yes.
Back in the day, coach, you just go outside your head. Can't do that no more.
Yeah,
can't
the parents. No more. No. Nah. You'd be,
the parents the worst. The parents is the worst.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why my son ain't playing? Well, your son sucked. That's why he ain't playing.
Hey, man, that is the worst thing you can. And that's the one thing you can never say.
You cannot say that.
You can't be honest with him.
No. You can, but you can't say that. Like, because I had a situation coaching high school football in Green Bay. I was at Southwest Green Bay, and I keep it at that. And then it was first game of the – I think it was first or second game of the season. We were within the first month, and I had a mom and dad come up to me at halftime of our game. And the mom's, you know, does all the talking. The dad just sitting in the background listening. And the mom said, you know, basically the question, why my son ain't playing or what's going on? Da, 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 da. I said, well, I told your son, because he had an injury, he had to, you know, rehab. He got to do his thing, what the trainer tells him to do, and then get in the playbook. And he didn't either. And so I'm not going to put a kid who's already hurt, and then he don't know his plays, and then he's hurt.
This
high school.
Okay.
All right. And then he's hurt. That means he's a liability to the other players on the field. He's going to get somebody else hurt. I said that, and by the time I got to that last sentence, the dad in the background was like, we good, I got it. He's like, hey, girl, let's go. Let's go get back to the stands. That's why he ain't playing. So,
see, in this league that I coach, because they're 9 to 11, everybody's got to play. Everybody's got to touch the ball.
I know those leagues. I remember those leagues.
What happened, though, my younger cousin, he's 25, my cousin Jordan, the first 2 weeks I was traveling, so I couldn't coach.
Okay.
Jordan didn't follow none of the rules. He was like, nope, he's going to play or we're going to lose. I was like, dog, you can't do that. Everybody's got to play.
He didn't abide by the rule set. Oh, man.
I had one situation with a kid. This other kid on the other team fell, and he started crying. And the kid gets over him and go, yeah, you soft. I was like, son, come here.
No, you can't do that, bro.
You can't. Yeah, well, you can't. You can't call the man soft in front of his whole family. His grandma, auntie, mom, dad, little sister right there. You stuffed.
He heard that from somewhere else. That's what he did.
How many kids y'all got?
No question.
How many kids y'all got, Dorsey?
On a team, 10. Well, it's 10 to 12. Everybody don't show up every week. It's just, you know, they got birthday parties and stuff like that. It's, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, man, that's funny. I just remember the flag football. Those flag football days right there. I remember.
That's flag.
Yeah, we flag. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, man, that's hilarious. All right, let's get to these games, man. Great check-in there. That was some brought me back to some old days back in my head in terms of flag football. But last weekend, we had the Jags and the Chiefs. We had the Giants and the Eagles, kept them boys and 49ers and Bengals and Bills. So let's start with these Chiefs, guys. So we had Jaguars and Chiefs. So we knew going this game, you know, what we had. We had, you know, Pat Mahomes playing well. Jaguars with our good friend, teammate Dougie Fresh. So with the outcome, and with before the game, what was your thoughts on this Jags and Chiefs game and then the result of it? We'll start with you, Gilbert.
Well, I mean, Kansas City, you start out saying Kansas City is probably going to be the team to beat either them or Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? So, you knew that Kansas City had the Jags number. But then again, Jags made it a good game. They didn't just lay down and die. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
To me, it was a good game, you know, something where the Jags are really starting their future this year, kind of per se, getting out the doghouse and getting out on their own instead of, you know, getting their heads beat in all the time. So it was a good game. But like I say, Kansas City sometimes is just too strong, or they're gonna find a way to win.
Yeah, yeah, they will do that, and that's what Pat Mahomes did. He get that sprained ankle, you know, and he's coming, he's limping out there. Like, what's the old? I think it was an old basketball player that did that. He tweaked his hammy or tore his hammy, came back, and he could barely run. He's out there shooting hoops and to help win the game. I can't remember the player's name, but I just remember that happened, and it's kind of seeing that all reenactment of Pat Mahomes. So, Dorsey, what about yourself?
Excuse me. I agree with Gilbert. Going into the game, I thought Kansas City was a better team, but I did think Jacksonville would keep it close. You know, what Doug has done with that team in the last couple of years is incredible. What stood out to me in this game is that once Mahomes went down and then Chad Henne came in and drove him 98 yards on drive and scored, I don't think Mahomes should have came back in the game because he was about 30%, right? He could barely move. And if you're a defensive coordinator, that's what the Bengals are going to do this week. They're going to send people at him every play because they know he can't move. But that being said, I get he's Patrick Mahomes. He's the leader of that team.
Yep.
But if you're 30%,
you're going to send them dogs at you.
Yeah. If you're 30%, you got to go sit down, man. You just got to go sit down. So I'll be curious to see, you know, what happens moving forward, because them high ankle sprains ain't no joke.
No, they're painful.
Usually like 4 to 6 weeks, easy.
It's playoffs, so it's like, it's like five days.
Right, five exactly. Days. Although they say he is walking without a limp, which is good, but walking ain't running. True. So we're going to find out. So we'll see what happens going forward.
So on that point, talking about the limping part with Pat Mahomes coming off the bench after he went out, Gilbert, so from a defensive standpoint, knowing that, and I know you prepared for games where you knew somebody that was an important player on the other team was beat up a little bit. So explain the mindset, the game planning going into that game, knowing that player is not 100% running, you know, playing the ball, playing the game.
It's a different mindset, man. But I also got to understand that sometimes you can get into a situation where the lead dog goes out and the second dude comes in and his feet is better than him. So we got to put our running shoes on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's happened several times. So, I mean, it's a mindset where you got to understand where you got to watch film. I can't understand a guy that plays football that don't watch his opponent. Exactly. Them young cats do it a lot today. You know what I'm saying? I asked my son, I said, hey, boy, when y'all play, did you see who you was going against? I ain't worried about him, Dad. I said, dog, that ain't the point.
The point
is you got to watch and see, man. Because I remember, as stupid as he is, Kabir Bajabi Miller, as stupid as he is, Asalaam, whatever it is he be doing. That boy would watch the film. And there's certain triggers that you got to see. He would watch how the quarterback will put his hands up under the center, right? Mm-hmm. And he can tell when – that's how he used to get off the ball so fast. He can tell when the quarterback's getting a snap by the way his hand moves under the center. So it's a key to watching film, man. So I would think that, you know, watching your opponent should get you ready for the game.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why he was the sack leader on Packers organization for a long time there. I think he got passed up maybe by Clay Matthews or somebody, or he may still be number one. We'll look that up here. Let's hit on this Cowboys 49ers game. Then we'll hit to a break. So we had these, or not Cowboys 49ers. I'm sorry. Giants Eagles game. I got ahead of myself. We'll talk about this game. Then we get to the Sunday's game. So Giants Eagles, it started, you know, wasn't from the start, it got ugly fast for those G-men. So we got 38-7 in that game. So let's start with you, Dorsey, since Gilbert started last time. How surprised are you? Were you even surprised by the score? Or you thought it would be a game the way the Giants have been playing from the division, the first week of the division round to this game here, and it being an NFC East rivalry matchup there in Philadelphia in Lincoln Financial?
I thought the game would be closer. A couple of things that stood out to me, I think on Philadelphia side, they ran the ball so well. And Giants defense have been playing well, so I was surprised by that. But Saquon Barkley didn't get the ball. And I was like, what? I don't understand how you not feed that man the ball. He's got to get the ball 30, 40 times in a playoff game because it was win or go home. I think
he had nine touches
the whole game. That's
nine rushes. And then I think he probably called out the backfield. He didn't. No, he called it twice out of the backfield.
Yeah, you can't win if he doesn't have the ball. He's your best player on the team. He has to have the ball. So I think those things, Philly running the ball, the Giants not giving him the ball, the two things that stood out to me in that game.
Gotcha. What about you, Mr. Brown?
They're sad, man. I mean, Philly is so physical, man. They are a physical team. They're gonna put it in between the tackles, hit you in the mouth, get some ball movement. So that's what people got to worry about. Frisco, moving a little here, Frisco better get ready because Philly is coming to partay. They coming to partay, dog.
They
about to see what they got a dipstick and about to check your manhood. That's what they about to do.
They coming with them Philly cheesesteaks. And
Philly cheesesteaks has some pop.
Ooh wee. And on that, man, that sounds good. And I wouldn't want to be on the other side of that because you know they're gonna be hungry for something else to get a win, to get themselves to a Super Bowl, be their second Super Bowl in the last 5 years or yes, 6 years or something like that.
Get her done.
Yes, sir. On that note, we'll take it to the break on NFLApodcast.com. We are the Green and Gold G Lounge, and I'm your host, Amon Green. We will be back in a second.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only, must be physically located in Virginia.
Welcome back to the Green and Yellow Gold Gene Lounge. I'm your host, Amon Green, along with my good friends and teammates, Gilbert Brown and Dorsey Levin. So let's wrap up last week's, divisional round. We have the Cowboys and the Niners. My favorite team growing up as a kid, that was me and my dad sitting on the couch watching Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and that man, Roger Craig, and Ronnie Lott coming down in the box.
We had classic battles with them boys.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I remember now as a Packer, you know. And then them Bengals and Bills, too. So it's getting that first matchup. First matchup of the weekend or last Sunday was them boys that go from can't get right to look like they about to beat the world.
Mm.
And then we saw what happened. But let's start with you, Dorsey, on this game. Because we saw last week, Dak came out like he was the Hall of Fame guy that every analyst put him out there to be, or we didn't know who he was going to get, and we saw that. So what's your take on the start and the end to the finish of the Cowboys season against them 49ers?
That San Francisco defense is a different monster than Dak has faced. So I think some of that is not just Dak playing bad, it's San Francisco's defense playing well.
Good point.
Man, one of the things I see, once Tony Pollard went out, I was like, I think they're done. Zeke, bless Zeke's heart. He's just not the same running back he used to be, and I'm not sure he's ever going to get that back.
Right.
You know, and then, on the flip side of that, San Francisco, man, just the young quarterback playing well. You know, they have balance on offense and defense. It was a tough game, but yeah, I like the way San Francisco pulled it out.
Yeah, them boys defense is nice. That's one thing that is I say the shining light. Obviously the kid Purdy playing pretty good at quarterback. doing this thing. So, Gilbert, to yourself, from a defensive mind standpoint, watching that game, knowing what Dak did last week for the Cowboys, but then also knowing coming in that game, 49ers defense is very stout. So what was your outlook on that?
I just laughed, man, because Dallas fans, man, they crack me up.
Hey, they similar to Packer fans. They get invested, man.
No, I think they are, but I think they worse, man. Oh my God. You get on YouTube or something. I saw one dude punch his TV.
I seen that one.
Punched it, then just body slammed it to the floor.
Like, what the TV do, man? What the Samsung do to you, man?
Last year I saw a dude shot his TV. I said, yeah, shoot it one more time. I said, wow. Oh my God. Oh Lord. You know what, man? I tell you what, I don't know what Dallas is like a chameleon. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't know who gonna show up against who. But then again, the matchup that Frisco's gonna do with Philly, it's gonna be physical, man, because both teams are physical. Their offensive line is physical. San Francisco's defensive line is physical. You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be a great matchup. I can't wait to see it. I'm glad we got all the pretenders out of the way. Now let's play some football. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And the thing is, as you say with Dallas, man, you know, I think with Dallas, it's too much pointing fingers at people. You know what I'm saying? You know, to me, you know what I'm saying? Dak, you ain't do your job. Zeke, you ain't do your job. McCarthy, you ain't doing your job, right? I mean, it's too many pointing fingers, man. Once they get past that, I think they're going to have a good team.
Yeah, and they're a team that I know I got. I say I got a feeling that it's a big city team, so they get influenced by the media. You hear it, you know, you're not 100% sure, but you think that might rain a little bit of, obviously, pressure. If they don't get influenced, at least pressure and stress and anxiety trying to play that game and better win it. Because they know in the back of their heads when they got drafted there, what type of organization, Mr. Jerry Jones, they call it Jerry's, where they don't call the stadium, you know, Lamb. It doesn't have its name. It's the owner's name, you know, Jerry's World. So that just throws a hint at you when you're walking in the building. If you're ever a Cowboy, who's the guy down there who runs the ship. And for me, it's just, like I said, I grew up watching these matchups. This was the old NFC matchup from, I say, when Emmitt and Troy and Michael Irvin were with them Cowboys, and that was around y'all time when y'all had to face both those teams, you know, playing. So for me as a kid watching those, you know, I was a Roger Craig fan because he was from Nebraska, and Emmitt Smith fan because he was just one hell of a running back at that time on a great, you know, having a great offensive line. And so it was just interesting to see that game and kind of where things are. CMC, you know, you got Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel playing good. And just Purdy is just, you know, in that moment for him, he's understanding, you know, and it's between, I believe it's him and the coaches getting his mindset right, because doing what he's doing is very special. He's setting records, and we might not see this happen again for a while, because, you know, when you got a young quarterback, and this is the second time it's happened in the last, I say, 5-6 years, because the other guy that did it just haven't gotten this far in the season with his team is Justin Herbert from the Chargers. Yeah, I remember he was a rookie, first round pick on the bench. Purdy, not a first round, but he was on the bench. And you remember Justin, Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, you know, and it was more of a self-inflicted wound because the training staff was punctured his lung or something. And then Justin Herbert had to get in the game. So I think when you don't have that opportunity to really think about stuff, you got to go out there and play. And that's what started it for Purdy. He didn't have to think much. He had to get on the football field, replace Jimmy Garoppolo, and play ball. And now the weeks that he's been able to prepare, it's still the same mindset, same gameplay, which is good to see. He didn't falter. So this is going to be the biggest test, obviously, playing against Eagles defense. Like you mentioned, Gilbert, physicality is coming to the point. And they're going to probably get a little bit more pressure on him. And we know he can scrabble, but we haven't seen him scrabble much. But we'll see potentially if that's a point, you know, for that team and him getting a win, or the Eagles getting a win, either way. So I'm excited for this game coming up. So that, for the Cowboys game, though, it was just like, man, it was just interesting to see, like I mentioned, Dak start one way, you know, the playoffs one way, because he ended the season bad, and then he shows up, like I said, Hall of Fame, Pro Bowl, and then it's not, you know, not the same guy. It's just interesting. It's interesting to see. I hate to see that. So the last game of the last weekend was the Bengals and the Bills. And the Bengals, man, they kind of like, they like that little brother or somebody just under your age bracket that you like, I got these guys. I got them. And then they like, oh, they bust you in the mouth. You're like, oh man, they're good. So G, let's start with you on this Bengals Bills matchup, because we remember we started this season and a lot of our weekly picks, a lot of even our Super Bowl Panassi, you know, telling the future of it, we were saying the Bills going to be there with either, you know, the Eagles or somebody else from the NFC. So now where we are, gee, so what's your mindset and your take on last week's game here against those Bengals and the Bills?
Man, I was right. Everybody's riding with the Bills, man, because they thought the Bills was going to be the team to beat, man, you know. And Joe Burrow said, wait a minute, we still got a game to play. It was a good game. And all the chips, it was Cincinnati against the world going up in there in Buffalo, man. They had, oh my God, they had everything on their side. They had the weather, they had the crowd, they had everything Buffalo did. And Cincinnati snatched it all away. You know what I'm saying? And that goes to show you that Joe is really setting his mark in his league. You know what I'm saying? As a young kid, going and doing the things he's trying to do. So I'm looking forward to see how far they're going to go. But again, it's going to be a hell of a matchup. Cincinnati Kansas City? Cincinnati, yep. Kansas City. So it's going to be a hell of a matchup. But then again, this is why we play the game.
100%. What about yourself, Doris?
A few things. So I think first and foremost, Cincinnati found a reason to get upset. They started selling AFC championship games to the game here in Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz Dome, which only would have been played if it was Buffalo and Kansas City. So they had
a neutral location.
It was a neutral location, but they already started selling tickets. Oh. Cincinnati got wind of that and got real. I don't know if y'all know.
That'll help me get motivated more, for sure.
After the game, Joe Burrow was caught on tape saying, refund, get your money back. Ain't gonna no game in Atlanta. So they found a reason to get upset. First of all, that game wasn't even close. Cincinnati dominated that game. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't even the score wasn't as close as it was. With that being said, going into the game with the problems that Cincinnati's offensive line had last year in the playoffs with three new starters this week, gone. I thought there was no way they were going to win the game. Like, no way. I thought they were going to sack Josh Allen 15 times. And Cincinnati just showed up, man. And here's what I forgot, too, because Buffalo's been playing so well. Von Miller's out for the whole year, right, as well as Micah Hyde. So they got two Pro Bowl defensive players on Buffalo who aren't there. And then you think about all the stuff that went on with DeMar Hamlin. Most of us thought that would motivate Buffalo. And what I think what happens is, at the end of the day, it might have just took too much out of him, man.
He could be up here, and then you could feel that a law can hit as well. It could go either way. Yep. I agree with that. That can happen. Yeah, that is something, because obviously it was so serious, you know, because it wasn't just, oh, he tore his ACL or he busted his shoulder up. No, this was life and death. So you had that roller coaster of the next week's game where they motivated to go play ball, and he's in the stadium. He was in a hospital bed at that time, but then for this game, he's in the stadium, and it could have been kind of that – worrying about him, worrying about his family, but then now you got to refocus, try to play some football too. I think it probably hit some of the guys, and you can kind of sense that a little bit. Because like Bengals, I say their defense, I looked at their schedule and to try to make sure I was right, but the last month of football for Bengals before the playoffs, they were on a 7-game, 7 game win streak against teams like the Steelers, playoff team, Titans, playoff team. They beat the Chiefs, playoff team. Didn't beat them by much, but wins a win in NFL. It's not college football. Buccaneers, Patriots, and then the Ravens, all playoff teams. They beat them, you know. So that's where I knew. Remember, we were making our picks the last couple of weeks. I was just like, man, that Bengals defense, and that's part of it. And then you got Joe Burrow. is kind of like the ace in the hole. So you got a defense that's playing top notch right now. They're creating turnovers, creating problems for offenses. And then the quarterback, he just don't have no fear. He has zero fear to go out there and play ball, regardless who's blocking for him. But now he has a better line than he did last year. The guys are too kind of like Purdy. They don't have a whole lot of starts between the offensive line. I think between the five players, I think one player has the lion's share of starts with 76. The other ones have one or none. So I think that mindset of if I have a player like that, I'm going to say, hey, man, just don't think about it. Just play ball. You know, regardless of what your experience is, you know, you've been playing ball since you were, you know, 6 years old, whatever it is. And now you're 20 something or 30 something. Go out there and do your job. This is your job to do. It's real simple. Don't overthink it, basically. And I think you have that mindset as a coach, let your players know that could do it. Then you have the result that this game, the way it turned out. So, well, on that note, we'll take it to a break and then we'll get into AFC, NFC Championship weekend coming up here. And then we got a couple little fun things. We got our top three coming up and we got a fan question as well to answer here as we go to the break for NFLApodcast.com. See you in a few.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, man.
Woo! Welcome back to Green and Gold G-Lounge. I'm your host this week, Amon Green, along with my good friends and teammates. And I say older brothers that always, if I was their younger brother, I know one for sure would be thumping me in the head, saying, hey, boy, stop acting all silly. And that would be big Mr. Gilbert Brown, Gary Gravedigger.
For real.
and Dursey would be my older brother. Hey, man, come over here. Stop messing with him. Leave him alone. He ain't doing nothing. So we back off that break. And so we got the AFC, NFC Championship Sunday coming up. I know as a kid, like I said, I watched a lot of football. It wasn't until I got a little older where I understood the importance of the NFC Championship game, AFC Championship game, because I was more of a college football kid to about age 13. And my dad said, hey, you got to sit there, watch that game, watch these games, because this leads to the Super Bowl. And I'm like, oh. Because, you know, I was a kid. I wasn't paying attention to all the commentation and how big the game was. I was just like, man, look, I need big plays. I need bombs or I need somebody to go take it to the house every play. They do that in college football. They don't do that in the NFL. It's like 3 yards, 3 yards, 15 yards. It's like, ah. He said, no, watch these games. These are important. So we got 49ers going to the Eagles. You know, 49ers were the lower seed. And then we got the Bengals going to the Chiefs. Let's start with these 49ers and Eagles guys. So good matchup. Two defenses that are, I say, top of the bill right now for this season. So start with you, G, on that defensive note. What's your mindset? And we're going to pick later, so you don't have to do your pick now. But what's your outlook on this game coming in for the 49ers going into Lincoln Financial?
Lincoln, first of all, I want to have a big shout-out birthday for Jerry Kramer. It's his birthday this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right, happy Jerry. Birthday.
Happy birthday,
Mr. Jerry. Kramer.
Yes.
Great dude. Good dude.
Green Bay National Treasure right there. I swear to God. Getting into this game, man, this is the game I want to see. This is the game I want to see. Mano y mano. It's kind of like, you know, watching two gladiators going into the arena, and you know they about to get it on. They ain't about to send out no lions, no chains, or none of that. They going for it mano y mano. And we about to see, what the talk is. I mean, we about to see how good Purdy is now.
Mm-hmm.
We about to see how good, because you're going up against a good defense that's going to give them a lot of different looks, and it's going to put some heat on it. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. As far as Philly, I want to see Philly stay physical up front. I want to see them stay physical up front. I couldn't pick. It's hard for me to pick a winner in this, man, just because of they done slayed everybody they came across, and now they're going against their equal to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be the team that makes the mistake.
Yeah.
The other one to capitalize on to win the game. That's the way I see it.
Gotcha. What about yourself, Joyce?
Yeah, man. The thing is, you talked about mistakes, and Brock Purdy, as a rookie, has not made many mistakes all season long. And I'm wondering if when the rookie Brock is going to show up. If he shows up, maybe he doesn't for the rest of the year. But I look at last week's game, he only threw for 214 yards, but he had no interceptions. He didn't throw any touchdowns either, but no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's important when you got to protect the football. On the San Francisco's got some, man, and outside of Purdy, they got McCaffrey. They got Elijah Mitchell running the football. Deebo Samuel can line up in the backfield and take it to the house at any single time.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. You got George Kittle at tight end, and you got Brandon Ayuk outside. Yeah. So that being said, their offense is stacked. You know, I know Gilbert will talk about their defense, but on the flip side of that, with Philadelphia's offense, obviously you got Jalen Hurts is still coming off a shoulder. Kenneth Gainwell rushed for 112 yards last week on 12 carries.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Sanders had 90 yards on 17 carries. Outside, they got some receivers too. They got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert at tight end. So both offenses are stacked, but their defenses are just as stacked. So this should be a good game, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy I like on the edge is for the Eagles is A.J. Brown. I mean, he's basically built like a running back. So any DB trying to cover him man to man, you gotta bracket him. I mean, because one on one, he's just gonna grow man you know, as the guys do today. Like I'm gonna ask you this question because I know you don't like this. So you know, I don't know what we did when we was trash talk. We just trash talk guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the today's generation, they do little symbols or they do moves. So they do that little boy thing where they put their hand to the ground. Say I just grown man you, or I just little boy you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that, small. Yeah, you too small. I know that would make me hot. That would make my piss hot. I'm like, no, bro, I'm about to do something. You just
They're triggering you to go off and lose your mind is what they're doing. Kind of like how your boy did what's his name? Jeffries, when he did that dance on him after he shut him down on that play.
Zaire Alexander.
Yeah, Zaire.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there.
That's your move I just did on you.
Gritty, yeah.
Right.
And I just locked you down.
Yeah. So
and
like,
I shut you down.
Yeah. At a wide receiver position, you know, just being the way he's built, put down all the way from the, you know, from the feet up is just going to be an interesting matchup. I know the 49ers got good defensive backfield, but we know that part. I mean, we already know the running backs, the O-line, D-line is going to get physical, but though even the wide receiver area is going to get physical. He's even Ayuk is not, you know, he's a typical wide receiver build, but he's physical. He catches the ball over in traffic. And mm-hmm. and then Christian McCaffrey, the young Elijah Mitchell that comes off the bench that rotates with Christian. I've liked him since the time I saw him. I think it was last year, toting the rock. And he's, he drops his head, you know, kind of like Pacheco with the Chiefs, we'll get into a little bit. He runs hard. He's a little guy, but runs very hard. And so that game, I think this is going to be a slug match. Like I think Dorsey said, or Gilbert, you said it. It's going to be one of them, you know, Ali, you know, Frazier fights where it is blow after blow. And it might not be a big score. I think the line, the over-under, I think it's around like 40-something. And I think that's a stretch because it's just both of these team defenses. If they get to Purdy, they get to Hurts. And you saw last week with Hurts kind of how he protected his shoulder. When he was running the ball, he was being smart about sliding. He got out of bounds real fast. But I believe, like I said, either way, this is going to be one heck of a game. I'm going to get my popcorn ready, as T.O. used to say back in the day, and watch this. Like I said, my favorite team growing up, but also a good team in itself in terms of the Eagles being in this situation again, 5 years within another head coach, driving them to the getting close to one game to the Super Bowl. So that's what I'm excited for. And then now we got those next game up is these Chiefs and these Bengals, these young Bengals, you know, they weigh under the cap. So also for like offseason talk, this is going to be interesting for a few more years because Joe Burrow on a rookie deal, Ja'Marr Chase on a rookie deal. So like 2 or 3 years, ooh, it's going to get real interesting in the natty, as they call it. So starting with you, Dorsey. So Bengals, Chiefs, we got Mahomes. And I know you wanted to bring up some useful information for people out there listening in and for us here in the podcast when we do our picks here in a few minutes about Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs going into Sunday's game against the Bengals.
Yeah, no, I wanted to ask because he's got this high ankle sprain, right? They said he was seen walking without a limp yesterday at practice. Mm-hmm. And it had me to think about Reggie White having a miraculous comeback with a torn hamstring. Because I believe they said the hamstring was torn off the bone.
Dang, but Gilbert would know better.
That's Gilbert's dog. Gilbert, what do you remember about Reggie coming back when we thought he wasn't going to play?
I believe it was torn. It had a hole or something in it. I believe that's what it was. But it was no possibility of him playing, you know. And Reggie was in the training room and he was doing all this. And he said, God gonna let me play on Sunday.
What'd he say?
Deep raspy voice right there.
God gonna let me play on Sunday. And dog, I don't know how dog, he came in. I mean, all week he was in the training room, though. He was in the training room. He was doing everything he could do. But the training staff was like, no, he ain't playing. No, he can't. He cannot play. He can't even push off on him. No.
Right.
Dog, come Sunday, number 92 was out there talking about, let's go. Let's go. And when he started singing that Amazing Grace, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Sir.
Oh, I love me some big dog to death. To me, the best defensive end that ever put his hand in the dirt, period.
Mm, that's motivation right there. That's what I'm talking about.
I saw Micah Parsons did a hip toss in the game against San Francisco, and they mentioned Reggie White because that was Reggie's.
Bread and butter.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So on, what's your outtake on that game? I know you told that great story there, G, on that Chiefs, on this Chiefs Bengals right here.
Man, you know what, man? Going to school in Kansas, there is no other team. You know what I'm saying? You know how it's kind of like when we play Nebraska, you walk into Nebraska, dog, and there's a sea of red.
Yeah,
I ain't going to like eight or nine scoreboards all over the place, just intimidating. You know, I walked in there. Some lady had a chicken, and she was just dangling it in front of me. Come on, we gotta get you today, Brown. I'm like, you're old lady, come on. But then again, it's the same feeling when you walk into Kansas City. Oh my God, a sea of red to me now. When we was doing that Super Bowl run and we lost to the Chiefs, remember that, Dorsey? We lost to the Chiefs. That was the loudest outdoor stadium I ever been in my life. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So
I agree.
You gotta get your mind right. So young or not, you better come in there with your A game, brother, because Kansas City is gonna get you. It's going to be a great game. Mm-hmm. Great game.
Speaking of crowd noise, was it only me? Did y'all used to hate when we used to have to practice indoor with the
with the sound?
That was just.
I got used to it in college.
What's the word? What's the word? Asinine or whatever.
Yeah, annoying.
It was a headache waiting to happen.
Come on, Mike. And then you open up all the doors.
To bring in the cold air. If we're going to practice outside, just go outside.
Right.
Exactly. You know? And the crowd noise, I understood the crowd. The crowd noise didn't bother me. I was dealing with that in Lincoln, too. We started doing that stuff when we played the bigger games like Oklahoma and the bowl game. But Dorsey, I think I cut you off, too, to finish up your wrap-up on the Bengals-Chiefs game coming up.
I think we forget the Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year with half an offensive line.
Yeah, that's true.
They feel disrespected. And for me, I worry about Mahomes' ankle. Mm-hmm. If he's not... I mean, I get it. I get who he is. I get what he's done. I get what he can do, but he can't do it at 30%. You know, I think if he's not healthy, you got to consider putting Chad Henne in the game. if you want to win. And then you got 2 weeks before the Super Bowl where he'll have some more time to get healthy or healthier to play. So I think those are the things I'm going to keep my eye out for this game. But I wouldn't count Cincinnati out. Remember last year, they beat Kansas City in the AFC Championship game in Kansas City.
In Kansas City.
So here we go, it's round two. Here we go again.
Yeah, rinse and repeat for them. Yep. And so, I'm kind of with you on that, Dorsey. But game still got to be played. But I would say the Bengals do have an advantage. You know, regular season, they won this year. Last year, AFC Championship game, they won. I think they're like 4-0 in the last four meetings against the Chiefs. So they're 4-0. That means Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor, the head coach, and the guys on that defense, even the new guys, they all got that sentiment of, okay, we got the Chiefs. Okay, let's go. You know, they're not looking at the weapons. They're not worried about the weapons. They just know that we just got to play our ball. They're well aware we're going to make mistakes. They're going to make plays. We make plays. And because that's how they play right now. That's how they're playing, you know, and then being on a winning streak like they're on right now. So the odds going to favor. And you'll see the line here in a minute when we get to our picks after this break. But the line is kind of where we're at. We're like, man, this game is going to be a good game. We don't know which way it's going to go. So it's like that. So we're going to take another break there to wrap up the podcast and fourth quarter coming up here. And we got some fun stuff. Talking about some top threes, got a fan question and everything. So I hope you have a good time listening to the Green and Gold G Lounge on NFLA podcast. So we'll be back here in a few minutes.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back to the Green and Gold G Lounge. I'm your host of the week, Amon Green, along with my good friends and teammates, Mr. Gilbert Brown, the Grave Digger, and Dorsey Levins, the Horse.
Yo,
I'm gonna do this thing. So we're gonna open up, man. We've been talking, like I said, we've been talking a lot of good football. Now we're gonna have some fun, man. I like this one. I say, Gilbert, you kind of tickle my funny bone, my nostalgic bone, if we have one, of the topics you come up with for the top three. So I'm gonna hand it off to you so you can introduce our top three and category of the week for this top three. This
who you handing week. It off to? Me?
I said, yeah, Mr. Brown.
No, I ain't got nothing to do with this one. This is Dorsey Levins. Dorsey, you tell us what we got because I don't understand. Right,
so every podcast we do a top three something.
Mm-hmm. So
I was thinking about music. Right. Mm-hmm. The top, the music that we grew up on, the ATL. Music that we listen to. I'm not going to ask y'all the top three most popular rap CDs or albums you ever listened to. I want to hear the top three rap CDs that you have listened to, the ones that you know the most words to. Yeah. And I might ask you for a verse if you're lying. I might just say, okay, well, say something then. Let me hear you. Say something.
Oh, man. Ooh, all right. That's a good one.
With that being said, AG, I'm going to let you go first because Chili like he confused over there.
So he's disappointed. Set that look good. Okay, I'm looking at my list here, and I'm going to go from my high school days because it was definitely CDs back then.
Oh, yeah.
But 1991. Well, no.
See you younger than us. Me and Gilbert had tapes.
And eight. Y'all had eight tracks.
No, not eight. Well, our parents had eight.
Yeah,
tracks.
We started out with eight tracks.
Yeah. So I started with, I was tape and then CDs for me, and now we're on the MP3. But this is before all that. So when you go to the store, remember you had to go to the store, family member or your homie. Hey man, that new disc drop. You want it? Like yeah, bro. Okay. So my brother, he actually, this was a birthday gift when I was a freshman in high school, 1991. And I opened my gift up and I'm like, oh, it was the Chronic, Dr. Dre's first album.
Yes, yes.
With Snoop, the Dog Pound, Nate Dogg. Oh my goodness. And that, even though it was a CD where you could skip songs, I still didn't skip. I listened to every track. And like these kids today, they don't understand, listen to a whole album. They want to skip, go right to the middle of another song just to hear the verse. I'm like, no. You can't do that. So that was in high school, that was the Chronic, Dr. Dre's first album. And then a little bit right out of high school, so my senior year to my freshman year of college at Nebraska, I don't know why this came. I think I heard one song and it got me stuck it was on the radio or something. And it was UGK, Riding Dirty.
Okay.
Bum B and Pimp C from Houston, Texas. I don't know why that, I heard A Pocket Full of Stone. You know, not knowing, it took me, I think my dad heard me playing it one day. He said, boy, you know what they singing about, right? I'm like, I think I know, but he said, you know, they selling them rocks. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, I kind of figured that, but I wasn't sure. But I was like, the bass line is fire. It's dope though, dad. That's like the music, the soundtrack or the instrumentals is sweet. I said, that's why I'm listening to it. He said, I ain't being no drug dealer. You know that. He said, yeah, you better than that, boy. You know, all right. And then when I got to, by the time I got to Green Bay and he was out making albums and now he's making a whole lot of money making TV shows, 50 Cent's Gets Rich or Die Trying, his first album. Yep. And I can't do it. Nobody can. He done. And then I know that's all I know right there. But those are my top three here. So who's next? All right,
Mr. Grave Digger.
Are you there yet?
You still look sad. Why you look sad?
I don't know. We could have wasted our time on any other thing, but I'm going to go ahead and ride with this. I'm going to go ahead and.
Why is this a waste of time, sir?
It's not a waste of time. It's an ATL thing, I believe.
What?
I just think it's an ATL. Rap music is ATL. I mean, just because no, I'm not saying rap discovered in ATL and then, but y'all swear y'all South, y'all got everything going on. You know, like Detroit got Motown. I understand that. ATL is Jermaine Dupri, and he got it all wrapped up there.
I'm from upstate New York, so I rock with New York music. That's what I grew up on.
Okay, but where you live?
I live in Atlanta. I do.
Okay, shut up. That's what I'm talking about. ATL. So anyway, let me get on to this list here. Of course, the two dudes that should be on everybody's list, I don't know why nobody said anything. Biggie, Hypnotize. Whenever that song, I think I'll be dead in my coffee. You play that, I'm going to get my ass up. I'm going to get up. You understand what I'm saying?
Going.
Get up, give you one more sugar, and then I'm going to take it
I'm
on
going,
down.
Going.
Tupac is my next guy. Of course. Can't See Me. Rider. What is it? A Business of a Rider. Oh my God.
California Love.
Yes. But my favorite. And it goes back to, I don't think it was 85, 86, but 85. They still cut my homeboy's head, they dad's car with an 8-track in it in 85. So I'm just telling you, I seen it happen. But Eric B and Rakim first CD.
I had their tape.
Eric B for President.
Just put it in and let it play, dog. It there ride. Was no skipping.
And ain't
there was
no joke.
Skipping. That there to me is all time right there. Eric B and Rakim, 85, 86, doing the damn thing.
And so you talk about
drop the pin.
Yeah, boom. All right. But you talk about Biggie and Pac. That's why I put Dre on there, because Dre worked with all of them, you know, and even UGK and the Right and Dirty. That he's that one producer.
Don't forget 8-Ball MJG now. Yeah,
what?
Don't forget him now.
About them. Bam.
The Fat bam, Mac, bam, baby.
Man, you talking about riding. That was some riding music. We had a little strip. Hold up. Just for that, we had a little strip here in Lincoln, Nebraska. When I was in college, I called myself riding down the strip. That was maybe about a half a block long. And I would put that song on, I'll be like this. I was in 1994 a Chrysler Daytona on some roadsters. emerald green with gold roasters on that thing. I thought I was fly. I'm like, what's up? And then I turn around, go right back. Oh man. All right, let's get on. Hey, great guys, great job there. Let's get on.
Hold on, I can't even get my top three.
Man, I'm so delirious right now.
Sorry, ATL.
About that, DRC. But yep.
Ironically, as big as a fan as I was of Outkast's first CD, I listened to that a whole lot. Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music.
Funky music, Bo Yo Trump.
Most of my guys are from New York. So at three, we're going to go with Nas with Illmatic.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
I got that.
One that you want to go. I'm also going to go number two is my man Jay-Z with Reasonable Doubt, his first joint.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is a classic.
That's a classic.
But number one on my list is, you mentioned him earlier, is Biggie, Ready to Die. That first one was a classic. I knew everything by heart. Put it in and let it play. With that being said, Gilbert, I'm surprised that a Detroit guy like yourself ain't got Eminem on the list, because Eminem is nice, man. He doesn't get enough credit for his lyrics.
Yeah, he shut down careers.
Eminem is nice. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't want to. He needs to slow down for me. I can't. Him and
you sound like an old ass man right now.
Him and
like an old ass man.
Him and Busta, them boys. What's the other one name? What's the other fast rapper name? What's his name?
Oh, Twista from Chicago.
Twista.
Yeah. Well, Twista.
All three of them. All three of them need to slow down.
I listen to all the.
Let your boy understand that.
Oh man.
That's just kind of okay. Let's put it this way. Who is the guy that gets no play in your ride?
No. Oh.
Like if he come on, you turn it
a rapper or just off. In general?
Just a rapper. If he come on, you just turn it off right away. Anybody?
Sir Mix-a-Lot for me.
Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Oh, man. Yeah. You don't like Big Butts? You don't like Big Butts in a can? Not lie. You other butts can't. You don't like that?
Click.
Now, you may not have nothing against them, but you just won't.
I don't. That's like rapper.
I don't want to hear that shit no more.
I don't have no rapper.
I ain't got a problem with it. I just don't want to hear it no more.
The rappers.
Yeah.
No, there's no rappers. I have.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm so bad. If I'm in the car. I'm in the car with my kids.
You've done this a few times.
I'm in the car with my kids.
We talking about new rappers. I got a whole bunch of new rappers.
Oh yeah, I'm daydreaming, right? But I'm driving, but I ain't paying attention. And I happen to look over, and all of them looking at me like, and I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? Dad, Curtis Blow is on, and you listening to it? I said, no.
Oh, you don't like Curtis Blow?
And he's on the break.
No, I can't do it.
Bring it up. Bring it up. Breakdown.
Hey, nothing against the new rappers of today, but some of them I just don't I don't even understand them. And I know I can decipher things, you know. But when the first time I heard, nothing against him, just the way his rap flow is, it's Fetty Wap. I was like, what the hell is he saying? I was like, are is it full words? Are there words? I mean, I guess that's the style. You know, he's making his money, so I ain't mad at him on that part.
We're turning into our parents.
But for understanding's sake, you know, as our parents used to say, what the hell y'all listening to that rubbish? They rapping too fast, like you're saying. Y'all can't understand. I can't understand it. I'm like, mom and dad, right. You ain't got to understand.
Hey, Dorsey, we need that coach that be on, that when the guy be in like in the elevator and be like, no, you can't do that. No, you sitting at the thing with the remote. No, you can't.
You
turn it into your parents.
Yes, indeed. So yeah, I would say Fetty Wap. I was like, man, I can't understand what the bro's saying. I know he's dope. He's trying to put. He's spitting, but I don't get it.
People like him. A whole lot of people like him.
Exactly.
A lot of kids.
So, man. Okay, now we're done. My mistake earlier. Let's get on to this fan question and our picks. And I don't know. Did you want to do a Big Dummy Award? Are we on that note too?
Oh man, I ain't even looked at it. There's so many dummies out here right now. I'm gonna give them a pass.
Think about it for a second, because we got this fan question. Maybe you come up with some, maybe you don't. That's okay. We got this for show rolling on. So, fan question of the week is from our good friend Rich from YouTube. Says, do the Packers have a run left in them next year, considering the AFC is so flawed? Interesting question.
Yeah, I would say every team, at the beginning of the year, every team has a chance.
Yeah.
You just don't know. You just don't know. Anytime people can catch fire. So I guess the short answer to that question is absolutely yes, we have a chance.
Yeah, with the roster that's in place, yeah, there's definitely a chance. What about you, Mr. Brown?
Oh, absolutely. I get so tired of people trying to say Aaron Rodgers too much against the cap. Is this, that, that? What are they going to do? Is he going to come at dog? Y'all got to understand something. You need complementary players to be great. If Davante Adams was still in Green Bay, we wouldn't have this conversation at all. You need complementary players. You need offensive line. You see what I'm saying? You need an offensive line that's consistent. You know what I'm saying? So we got a team. We're just missing one or two key components. But everybody sees that you get exposed when you don't have what you used to have. You see what I'm saying? Yep. So I don't want Aaron Rodgers to go nowhere. I want them to get a receiver in there that is consistent.
Yeah.
And watch us kick tail. I'm never going to jump ship. Call me a homer or whatever it is. But I believe that these guys got the nucleus there. You know what I'm saying? We're a player or two away on defense, and we're a player or two away on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad they kept the special teams coach.
So
he likes firing all the boys, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, great question there. And I look at it too, like offense nucleus, they got young running backs, AJ and Aaron Jones still in those lean years. They can still
do the best. Ball.
Yep. D-line, we're going to get Rashard. They're going to get Rashard Gary back. Yeah, I mean, the cap room, yeah, it doesn't look great, but you still got draft picks. You could develop there. And then you'll find what you need with what you got for free agency, basically. Yeah, they know the cap, so they'll be like, you know what, this is what we got to spend. But they got to remember, all these wide receivers that we talked about, they had to learn the hard way, like we all did. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, even though Sammy's gone now, but he was here. But you got those two young guys that now have grown a year. Now they got a year under the belt, and they dealt with the coaches. They dealt with their teammates. Now they dealt, and then also the media. Pretty sure they were listening, you know, or somebody, you know, you got one or two friends or family member. Hey, man, you hear what they said about you, you know? And so they've learned that now. They know how it is to be a Packer and how to carry yourself, how to prepare yourself on and off the field. And so that's going to be a bonus. So, yeah, it's going to be next year. No, the NFC is not flawed. If it's they're going to have the opportunity, like both Gilbert and Dorsey said, to do what they're supposed to do. All right. So it's going to be
I think some people don't understand as well, too. I think the second year guys play better because during that first year, your rookie year, you come off your college season, you go straight into training for the combine. You go from the combine into training for your personal workouts. Then you go to the draft and you go straight to camp or straight to where you're going. So you basically got about a year and a half of no rest. So this is the first time those rookies are going to rest in a year and a half. Yeah. So I think they'll come back better next season.
Yeah, exactly. It's a roller coaster ride.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I remember I go pro. We beat Tennessee in the Orange Bowl. I fly, I think 2 days, I get back to Lincoln, Nebraska. 2 days later, I fly out to Los Angeles, California to do my combine training, to meet my agent's firm, Steinberry and Morat. So I'm in Orange County, California to do my training out there. And I'm out there for about a month and a half. Then I fly to Indianapolis to go to that thing they call the combine. Interesting trip. I can't wait till we talk about that here in a few weeks.
Yeah. It's eerily similar to a slave trade, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. What? That's putting it lightly.
Right, right.
And then I fly from the combine back to California, and then 2 weeks later, I go to
don't want to walk around with his T-shirt off.
Yeah, and his drawers. Like I said, we'll get into a whole nother conversation like that.
I had a problem with that.
Then flew back to Cali, Indianapolis to Cali, 2 weeks later to come back to Lincoln to do my pro day, just to have a better testing because I was a junior, to get more information out there for the older pro team, and then back to LA, and then I get drafted like a month and a half later to the Seattle Seahawks. So before the summer, I mean, I put between frequent flyer miles and changing addresses two or three times. That was just my rookie year, and I was a third round pick. So first, I can't imagine. I remember Ryan Leaf was my training partner, And so after that first month, I'll retell this again, but after that first month, I didn't see him because he was a first round draft pick, didn't have to worry about working out a whole lot. And he had that spiraling out of control. That's where it started. Cause he wasn't in the weight room. I was there every day. I'm like, where Ryan at? Oh yeah. They flew him to New York for some stuff and he's meeting with Rolex and he's meeting with all these sponsors and people that want to give him, you know, money on top of money, you know, shoe Nike deals and all that. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All right. Well, I'm a third round. I might be lower. I don't know. I might not get drafted. I don't know. I got to get ready. That's because Nebraska running backs right now, we weren't on the selling. I said, we're on discount sale. I said at that time. So on that note, Mr. Brown, we gave you a little time. Any picks for the Big Dummy Award?
Still none.
Okay. That's okay. That's all good.
It's a couple things out here that I'm waiting to happen to see and in the real world.
So we'll hit you next week. It'll be Pro Bowl week next week.
Pro Bowl.
It's the Pro Bowls. Yeah, yeah.
It's flag football now.
It's dodgeball. Just imagine playing dodgeball at the Pro Bowl. Mm. Playing flag football. So Doris, you're a flag football coach. You go coach them boys. I think they got Eli and Peyton coaching them boys.
Okay,
yeah. The flag. That's what they're doing there. So that's what we'll be doing next week, talking about getting ready for the Pro Bowl week and then the Super Bowl. But for the Super Bowl, now we're getting into our picks for the NFC and the AFC matchups. This is going to be a real tough one. So we'll start with the NFC Championship game. It's the first game of the day on Sunday. We got the 49ers going to Lincoln Financial. The line, Dorsey, is 2.5 points to Philly, and the over-under is 46. And I think that's high. I think it's an under on that for myself anyway. So who's your pick here, Dorsey?
I'm going to go with Philly at home. As Gilbert says, I'm just being a homer. I played there for 2 years, so I'm going with the Eagles.
Damn Eagles. 2-2-2. Mr. Brown, who you got here? Who's your pick?
I don't know, man. God damn.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's tough, man. What are they playing?
In Lincoln Financial, in Philly.
I think Philly gonna take it. I just because they're at home, and I think they got a little bit more maturity at quarterback to pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, this is a tough one for me because I'm split. Because like I said, me and my dad sit there lost them 49ers.
Somebody got to pick the 49ers.
I know. And the Eagles, I like Jalen Hurts. I just hopefully he's healthy to get through that game. You know, get through this game, but. Man, this is a tough one for me. But I'm gonna go them Eagles. I'm gonna go them Eagles as well. I like what they're doing there. I like what's that? Sirianni, what's he doing? I think what y'all think of him? It had the camera on him. He's like, what's up? We putting him on them boys. What y'all think? I saw that first. I'm like, wait a minute, is he serious? Is he really in the
he
camera?
Playing.
Like,
he just playing.
He doing like that. What up, bro? Like, I was like.
His players probably love that though.
Players love it when your coaches get hyped. You know, they do something. You be like, oh, then you know it's time to get hyped when your coach hyped. But you know, everybody else is like, what the hell are you doing? Like, man, you need to calm it down. All right, next game, late game on Sunday, AFC Championship game. The Bengals going down to Arrowhead Stadium against one of your favorite coaches, Dorsey, Andy Reid, a guy who has been around a long time and definitely walking into the Hall of Fame. He took the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl, but, you know, didn't win, but got there. But now it's been to two with these Chiefs, one, lost one so far, and is have the potential to be there one more time in the last. I think I didn't realize he's been here almost 10, 15 years now. I was like, what? Or 10 years.
That long? Yeah, he's been
here about 10 years now. I'm like, dang.
About 10, 12 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, the line here is even.
Yeah.
It is an even line. And the over-under, now this over-under, I could see being an over 47 because we know both these teams can put up points out on that field and go down to the last minute being 42 to 43, something crazy like that. So, Mr. Brown, we'll start with you first on this one. So, who's your pick here in the Bengals going to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City?
You know what? I think Kansas City gonna have a chip on their shoulder this time. I really do, because it's kind of like They got their nucleus. They got their mojo. They take away stuff. They do whatever. I think I'm going with Kansas City, man, just because I think Pat Mahomes is pissed off. And I'm not losing to these Bengals anymore. And we about to get back on top. And we're going to take it.
There we go. All right, Miss. Gotcha. Dorsey, who's your pick here?
Pat Mahomes may be pissed off, but he's got half an ankle. And that concerns me. And Cincinnati has beaten the Kansas City Chiefs the last four times, including the last two times in Arrowhead.
It's that, yeah, this season.
Much as I love Andy, and I hope Andy wins this football game.
You can't do that, man. Either you in or you out. You can't sit up here and say, I hope he win, trying to soften it up. Either you in or you out. I got Kansas City, punk.
You ain't the boss. Kansas you ain't City, the boss punk. Of me. You just mad. You just heard it like this. Got? I hope Andy Reid win.
He said, I hope. But
so, I think
I would love for you to tell Andy Reid this while you're talking to him. Coach Reid, I hope you win.
But they whooped y'all ass the last four times y'all played. Your quarterback got half a damn ankle. And Cincinnati, remember how we used to play San Francisco Gilbert and we just knew he was going to kick their ass? That's how I think Cincinnati feel about Kansas City.
You think so?
I think so.
That means a lot because I remember being on that. I think it was the 0-1 season, and we played the 49ers in the first round. I just knew. I said, we dropping a mud hole on them. This is going to be real easy. I don't know what made me think that, but it was just like, it's that feeling. I was like, it's going to be real easy.
Yeah, after we beat Frisco in 95, dog, it was like, whenever we play y'all, we going to beat y'all. Every time.
It would have been about five times. They got lucky with that T.O. catch at
the end. Yeah, with the T.O. catch. Oh, my God. I remember that. Yeah. I was watching that game.
And you know, you guys don't understand. I know we're supposed to be wrapping it up, but you don't understand what they tried to do to beat us. You know what I'm saying? You understand it because they had they brought in a guy. I think his name was Kevin Grogan or something like that.
The tackle?
He was like 6'8".
No, he was tall. He was like 6'10".
Somewhere in there. Tall. But 6'9". Guess where they had him, though? They moved him to guard.
Yeah, he's a tackle, but okay. I didn't know he
played guard. They moved him to guard to run the ball against us.
I think they said big fella. They might have signed Charles Haley, too, at that time.
They did. Yes, they did. They tried everything to get, because, dog, I when I saw him at guard, I knew what they was trying to do. And I said, big fella, you better pack a lunch bag. because it ain't going down in my hole.
Gilbert, if we had won that game, that'd have been our fourth straight NFC championship.
Yes. Yes.
Our fourth straight NFC championship.
Thanks, Sharper. Appreciate it. Thank you, dog. I'm gonna call like I see it. Thank you, dog.
Call like you see it.
Yeah, hey, Doris, we ought to have a Super Bowl 32 breakdown. And tell them why we lost the game.
I ain't watching that shit.
I ain't never watched it either. But still,
it's like a movie.
The fans need to know. The fans need to know what really happened.
The Broncos one. Yeah.
What really happened?
Yeah.
Had me in the locker room crying like a 4-year-old after the game.
Man. Yeah, I remember I remember when I first got the Green Bay. And Dorsey, you was like, man, I ain't watching that game ever. You said that in 1990 or in 2000. We're sitting at the bar.
And I meant that shit.
I was like, man, I said, yeah, I know. Because I was like,
I know how it ends. I know how it ends.
Right. Yeah. That's a movie you've seen before and because you lived it. And I say, just for competitive, just for fun's sake, because I like the Chiefs. I like Andy Reid, the defense and everything. I say, just for fun, I'm going to go to Bengals here just for fun. Because they were playing good. They've been having good defensive gameplay.
See y'all in Vegas.
Mr. Joe Burrow.
See y'all boys in Vegas. Y'all Mr. Joe can't Cool. do this in Vegas.
Man, and check this out. I get into DraftKings, right? Mm-hmm. I say, I'm going to put some money down. I'll start betting on some of these playoff games, right? Mm-hmm. I put my bet in, and it says, oh, you're in the state of Nebraska. You cannot sports bet. I'm like, ain't this about a biscuit?
You can't in Nebraska?
No,
You can't do it. You can't do it here in Georgia either. You can do fantasy, but you can't do sports book.
Y'all boys need to move to Michigan, then. Y'all need to move.
I was like, ain't that about a biscuit, son of a biscuit? I
thought so. All y'all do is send you the money and tell you who we want. Y'all give me the money. Ain't gonna never get to where it's supposed to be.
It's like you giving my wife's cookies. I give you a container of cookies. I know they're gonna be gone.
Make sure Dorsey gets some. I sure will.
Man, no, I'm not doing it. No, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate the offer. But on that note, we're gonna wrap up the show. So we got some good football coming up this week, and think about some big dummy. You got a whole week to think about it for the Pro Bowl week. It's gonna be an interesting talk.
Somebody gonna mess up.
And we can start an early day, and then also early talk on Super Bowl matchups, because we'll be knowing who's going to the bowl. They got to go to the Pro Bowl with the other players, and we can ask questions. I got some good questions for that as well.
And we still got a lot of football going on.
USFL, I think it's USFL, XFL coming back.
That's some good stuff. So watch the games, guys, so we got something to talk
about. Watch the games, and we're going to pick a team and ride or die.
Watch some NBA basketball. I watch basketball this time of the year.
NBA.
I don't want to talk about no basketball if they're going to jump on my football brother right now.
You talking about Shannon Sharp?
Shannon Sharp.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that last week. I said Shannon off the chain.
You know, it's always been football versus basketball in college.
Yeah.
Basketball
It's all the way from high school.
Shannon looked like a damn superhero. He's swole as hell. He looked like
the Black Incredible Hulk. And you got right. something to say about that? No.
And then, like I said, these kids today, they don't understand respect. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. And they think they could just pop off at the mouth. You know, I don't know what went down. I saw a lot of that posturing and, you know, NBA players yelling, young guys yelling at an older NFL. I don't know the old content of everything. But
LeBron had his back, though.
Shannon's back?
Okay.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, we got to. I'm going to keep watching.
What do you think would happen if Skip Bayless was there? In the ring. Exit. Where's the exit?
He would have bounced.
Oh, my God. Where's the exit?
And I put my 20-year-old on him. Bah, bah. Yeah, he ain't walking out that day. So, all right, y'all. We're going to wrap this thing up. Hey, man, Dorsey, Gilbert, good job today. Good seeing y'all.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll see you next week. As I love to say, same bat channel, same bat time. Real early in the morning. Here on NFL.
You're going to be on time next week because he's hosting.
Ooh, there we go.
I was on time this week, chump.
No, you wasn't. That was a mistake. He was like 1 minute late.
No, I can't help it if the dude don't let me in early. Shut up. I'm sitting here watching y'all.
So we're going to see you back here on NFLApodcast.com and the network online. We're everywhere. Facebook, Twitter. We got a Facebook account now, Twitter account now, and a website. So check us out. Listen to all the other fun podcasts. They did a nice little sizzle reel. Check us out. If you didn't see us on there, look at it again. We're on there with the Bengals and the Giants, all that fun stuff. So we'll see y'all next week. Have a good weekend. Peace.
Go Pack Go. This is your co-host Amon Green along with Gilbert Brown and Dorsey Levins. Thank you for listening to the Green and Gold G Lounge. We will see you next week for another Lambeau Leap on the NFLApodcast.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.